Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon. This is Claudia Cleary talking to you
from sunny St. Louis, Missouri, on a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, and I am so tickled to have all of you listening on the show with me today. I always try to generate some interest in some of the speakers that we have coming on board to the show. Today I have a marvelous speaker who I've had on before, and he's always interesting and very unique in terms of his perspective on many different things across the globe. And today I have on with me John von Neuding, who hails from Great Britain. And he is a really amazing speaker, facilitator for workshops for children, and does a whole variety of different things that if anybody is interested, you're welcome to call in and ask questions during the show today. So, John, without any further ado, please, welcome to the program.
Hi, Claudia. It's really good to see you, or hear you and feel your energy.
Thank you. It's great to be back here. Well, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you here. We got to keep our relationships with people across the pond, right?
Yes, it's quite a long way, but it's not really, is it?
So, no, yeah. It doesn't seem like it is more at all. Yes, it's great to have you here. So, since the last time we spoke, I know that you have been doing a whole variety of different things, planning out for the rest of this year, moving towards your plans for next year, and you're also involved in trying to make some changes for your living arrangements, true?
Possibly, yes. I'm letting go of the property that we own in England, and so that frees us up to go and travel more. We've been traveling a lot, and it just means that it's a much more flexible, fluid arrangement, being more in the flow of wherever we need to be. And we as a group, it's not just me, it's a group of people who are called Star Global Family and Young Masters Global, the younger ones. And our commitment is to raising consciousness and enabling more awareness and connections with others who have similar feelings about how they want to live. And they want to be free of restriction and allowing there to be no boundaries, in the sense of, you know, whatever you feel, you can express it. And the workshops and the camps, summer camps and spring camps, particularly for the younger ones, they've been sort of aged about 15 to about 30, say. And they've been really a place where everybody is treated equally and everybody has an equal voice, and they can share their sometimes unusual gifts, certainly unusual in terms of how the majority of society may see them. And when this is a free space, then the group energy is extraordinary, but also people can have extraordinary remembrances of who they really are at a soul level.
Talk a little bit about what you're referring to when you say extraordinary remembrances of who they were, who they are at the soul level.
Okay, well, obviously, most people are familiar with looking at other timelines, other lifetimes, you could say, at a very conscious level. I feel there is no time, because that feels like a construct that humanity has made so that we can understand it in this physical plane. I feel that we are looking for answers to who we are in these timelines and past lives, the recognition of that. And while many people feel that the past lives may be restricted to what's happened on Earth, I feel, and I've been made aware, that this goes way beyond the limits of Earth. And beyond the universe that we know. So that's roughly what I mean.
Okay.
Also, remembering, I was going to go on to say one more thing. Remembering that we are these star beings, and these star beings have extraordinary abilities, and one of the most recognized now in the groups that we work with is how they can telepath, or we can telepath between each other. And once you're in allowance of that and can feel the subtlety of it, it's extraordinary how you can learn to communicate more effectively. And I also feel that we are multidimensional, like we have the ability to, or we are operating on many levels of consciousness and all at the same time, if you want to use time as a construct. And so that in itself is really interesting, because some of us can see these different timelines or feel them and get information from them about how we are communicating on these other levels, and that can be very valuable in our current physical experience. So all these things are going on at the events that we're holding.
It sounds like the events that you're doing. No, I think it's wonderful. I think the events that you're doing are really remarkable. Where is the focus of most of the events that you're doing? Because we're based in the U.S., and you're in Europe. And so
yeah.
What are your plans for coming to the United States? Do you have plans to come here and do some of your workshops here?
Yeah, I certainly do. And I've been talking to you and some of the others that you know about coming back to St. Louis and seeing what we can arrange there. It would be wonderful to arrange that. I've been talking to people in Phoenix, Arizona, and mm-hmm. also in Sedona, Arizona, and in Denver, Colorado. So those are the centers that I'm looking at the moment. There's also something potentially happening in Canada, and in other parts of the world as well. But that's the sort of North American element mm-hmm. at the moment. Oh, and Hawaii. Hawaii is somewhere that we've been to, and we have some plans to get back there with workshops.
That's fantastic.
So it's keeping us occupied. The emphasis. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The emphasis of what we're doing at the moment is in Holland, because we feel that Holland is a really conscious country, and I know some friends of mine from Holland may be listening. So, or I should say the Netherlands, because Holland is just a small part of the Netherlands. And so the emphasis is at the moment there, but later on this month I'm going to Portugal with a group, and again some from the Netherlands are going to join us, with an idea of creating something that is a more ongoing experience for mainly the young people that are involved. They can the beauty of this place in Portugal is it has planning permission for building sustainable buildings, so eco buildings, and
mm-hmm.
that means that these people can actually experience living and creating. At the moment they're creating because there's not very much there. There's a few yurts and three buildings on 17 acres of land, and there's some more land available as well. So it's very much an opportunity to really live very consciously and in a sustainable way. So it's really exciting. I'm absolutely excited by it.
That's wonderful.
There are places in the States where there are these opportunities, and I've been talking to people about them. So,
uh-huh. Do you think that you and your family might consider? Yeah, do you think that you and your family might consider having a base somewhere in North America, along with a place in Europe?
Very much so. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly part of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel that there are any energetic boundaries on the planet to what we're doing. And of course, there are others who are working on their own parallel programs that are equally valuable in raising consciousness. And our program is what we're working with. So we honor and understand that there are many programs on the planet to raise the consciousness. And it's very exciting. I'm also planning to go to Portland, Oregon as well. I should have mentioned that.
That's okay. Better late than never. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Talk a little about what you discuss when you're in these workshops. Because most of what you work with, do you work with adults or do you mostly work with kids?
Both, really. We just over the last 3 weeks in Holland, we have held two summer camps. The first one was for a group of kids from, say, 14 to 28 or something. And they had been on at one of our previous camps as well. So this was like a follow-up and just to see where that took us all. Because it's very much a group experience. There are four older adults, if you like, and then we're just there to support and encourage the others to have a voice. And they can come into these workshops quite often, and they're very hesitant to speak because of the experiences they've already had in this lifetime. But they're nonetheless energetically very drawn and driven to be there. So it's all credit to them that they stick with it, because it can be pretty challenging if you've gone through to this point and you've not had family understand what you're doing, or school or work. They just think you're completely out of your head, which of course you are. So it can be a big step for them to take the leap of faith and really open up to who they are. And that's what we work on. And we use one of the most powerful ways that we get through is to use sound. And that can be through instruments that we all know, like crystal bowls or gongs or Tibetan bowls or drums. And maybe a didgeridoo, although we didn't have one for this summer camp, and various instruments. And of course, the voice is the most powerful instrument that we work with. And we encourage people to make their own sound. It doesn't have to be a pretty musical sound. It can be anything from a dolphin or a cat to a dinosaur or a dragon. You know, it's just whatever people feel in their imagination, if you want to use that word, or their consciousness they want to bring forward. And it's fascinating, because conversations start happening in what we would call star language, and it's very exciting when that starts to open up. And then the gifts that people have come forward, and they feel safer to share them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of, and then we would work in a group of maybe 30 of us, and then we may split up into smaller groups and work with different aspects of what's going on and what people have raised within the course of the workshops, and develop that. And then it's an ongoing living experience, because we share everything that happens on the camp. We do all the cooking together, and the sleeping arrangements are all in a sort of dormitory or small rooms that maybe between 2 and 10 people. So it's very much a shared experience and a supportive one. And well, it feels like a type of work that shouldn't be called work, really, because it's a lot of fun too. It's very joyful.
That's something that I would say that a lot of people don't really understand, because they think work is supposed to be unpleasant, difficult, challenging, where you have
funny
these mental blocks that drop down, and it's not like that. The work that you do is effortless, and it flows, and it feels good, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And the more you're in the flow, the more you actually don't have to think about it. You just feel what you do next or what connection you have to make. And the multidimensionality of all our aspects of each of us work together collectively to enable the co-creation to take place. And that could be, you know, I had a vision about two years ago going to Portugal. And I just sort of left it in the back of my feeling space just to be aware. And then a couple of months ago, I was invited to take place and take part and do a workshop at a festival in the south of England. And the person who was the organizer started telling me about this land that she just bought in Portugal. And so that was the trigger, and it's just flowing from there. And that's just one example. There are, you know, going to the States and how that came about was really interesting, and how I was first drawn to go to Sedona and meet and connect with Bear Cloud. You may know him. He was Amanda, I'm sure, does. So many, many experiences, that are probably more than you need on the show tonight, or this afternoon, because I call it tonight.
Well,
it's evening here.
Where you are, it's evening, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 7:22 p.m. and I think it's an hour ahead in the Netherlands as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely evening. It's getting a bit darker because the days are getting shorter now. Yeah.
Yes, they are. I noticed that this morning when I got up. It was 6 o'clock in the morning and the sun wasn't quite up yet. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. It's been a while since I've seen this.
Yeah.
So I see
the sunrise more often at the moment. Yeah.
You had said something earlier in your conversation, and it had something in reference that, you know, when people are at your seminars, after a period of time, when they start to use their own voice, they start to speak in what you call the star language. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Okay, I'll try. In fact, someone that we were drawn to meet in Sedona, we knew we had an appointment in the end of in other dimensions, to meet someone at 2 p.m. at Cathedral Rock in Sedona. And we just knew we had to be there, and we climbed the rock, and then we met this interesting being at the top of the Cathedral Rock. And
I know exactly where that is.
Then, it is a really beautiful red rock. And you can climb up it, and you can see in both directions from the center of the rock. Like two peaks next to each other. And anyway, this guy, when we got to the bottom of the rock, started conversing with Elaine, my wife, in this interesting star language. And we could all connect. We all seemed to understand what it meant. I can't recall it now, but in the moment, because that's all we have, we completely understood and connected with both of them. And that was an extraordinary experience. So that was an introduction to talking in these other languages. And to me, they could be Native American or Tibetan or Chinese. I mean, it's sort of like a foreign language, but you know what it means. If it's for you. I mean, it's not that everybody knows what it means, but if it's for you, you understand it. and you may not understand it at a verbal level, but it resonates in other aspects of who you are. And it may trigger a memory of another life or an understanding of the gift that you may have. It might open up your telepathy. Many, many things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really something. Have you had a lot of experiences like that over the course of this journey that you've taken? I mean, for the people who are listening, John von Neuting has had a very interesting life and path and everything. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember, you used to be an opera singer, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And so just the language of opera and the toning of the words that you sing creates a different vibrational frequency. And I talk about this a lot in my yoga classes. When you chant
yeah.
Om, it sets up a
yeah.
vibrational shift that you can't really explain. You have to experience it. And people think there's a religious background behind it, and truly it's not. It's about vibrational frequencies. And those vibrational frequencies are something that you will feel intuitively if you walk somewhere that has a very positive energy. You walk outside in nature. I mean, I'm looking at my backyard. You know, if you walk outside my backyard, you see something very different. You feel something very different than you would if you were in a city in a high-rise apartment complex or in a high-rise office building. It's the
yes,
same kind of an energy that you feel when you sing or when you hear somebody singing with a really, really amazing voice. And so the shift that John is describing, I think, also can happen at times when we're really not anticipating it.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's very true. And you can be completely bowled over by an experience when you're not expecting it. I have a friend who lives in Colorado, and he says the best way to be is to be curious and expect miracles. So you're doing one thing, and then suddenly something else comes along, and it changes
mm-hmm.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry.
Yeah, I agree. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, sorry. The sound is a bit odd. Because I'm rather a long way away, I know. But my internet has been interesting today. It's been energetically challenged, and so I've gone to the house next door to connect with you guys. So,
well, I really appreciate
that. It's also interesting coming here back to the UK, which I did last night from the Netherlands, because the energy feels quite different, because probably a lot of me has now moved on to the Netherlands, and being in that space, I had to adjust to being in the UK when I came back. So
mm-hmm.
that has been interesting, a very interesting day.
Oh, sure. I am absolutely sure. For those people who are listening who would like to ask John a question, I'd like to invite you to do one of two things. You can either message Amanda, my producer, in the chat room through www.blogtalkradio.com/GGMradio. Or if you would like, you can also come on to the phone with us. All you have to do is call in. The number is 347-237-5339. Touch 1 once you're into the system, and you'll be in the queue in order to ask a question if you have one of John. And I'd like to invite anybody who is listening, if you have a question, please do call in and ask, because it sparks some very interesting conversation. Limit yourself to one question, please, because we might have a variety of people calling in. And if there is a specific topic that you would like to ask him about that we haven't touched on today, or if there's something that you'd like to ask me about concerning nutrition, please don't hesitate. Do call in. And we are going to take a very short break right now for station identification and for some ads. And when we come back, we'll have any of our callers coming in to ask questions, and we'll have some more discussion with John von Neuting. So please hold on, and we'll be right back.
while cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
But I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
You're listening to Greater Good Ministries Radio and Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to all of my listeners and especially to John Von Dooning, my guest. It is such a pleasure to be here in the afternoon for the rest of our show today. And let's continue with our line of discussion before. Hi, John. It's nice to have you here with us. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
It's really great. Good. Really lovely to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's always nice to have you on here. I just have to give a shout-out real quick before we continue with our discussions. Amanda Dowell has just played a couple of different songs for us, and one of which was I Will Always Love You, and that reminds me of a very dearly departed pet that we used to have here in St. Louis, my cat Jasper, who unfortunately had to be put to sleep about 2 weeks ago. And it makes me very sad to lose a pet. And I'm sure that anybody who is listening out there who has had a beloved pet that they've had to put to sleep or who they've lost through other means understands what I'm talking about. So you talked earlier about that there is no real major break between the continuum between centuries and years and that sort of a thing. I'd like to hear your take on the beginning of life with a pet in a family, and then the changes that occur when the pets are no longer there. So, do you have anything to say about that, John?
Well, I can recount an experience that happened with more than one pet, but one in particular.
Go right ahead.
I really love cats. And I feel very connected with their energy, and all this lifetime I've been very much so. And this particular cat, he chose me. We went to look for a Siamese cat, and we went to this place where they had kittens, and there were about 20 cats in this room, and they were all sort of jumping around and having fun. And the ones that we'd come to look at were really shy. And so they wouldn't come anywhere near us. But this other cat that turned out to be 2 years old just came and jumped straight on my lap. and started doing, you know, cat affectionate stuff like headbutting and stuff like that. And and I just knew this cat. And the people that were there said, well, he's 2 years old. Are you sure you want a cat that's that old? You come to see a kitten. Anyway, he came and joined us and lived with us. And he stayed with us for 17 years. And he's a Balinese, so a semi-long hair. And then he left us about 3 years ago, and we were very sad because he was really the closest member of the family. He'd broken his pelvis and had to be nurtured back to health, and so he was really a strong member of the family. And when he went, we were initially devastated, but he said to me, as literally the day he was going, he said, "It's all right, I'm coming back." And it was such, you know, a beautiful moment. And then it was really touching. And then about, I don't know, a couple of months later, I was driving in my car and Elaine, my wife, was at home. And she rang me and said, "I've just had a vision of a Torty Point Siamese kitten." And I just had the same vision. We both had the vision exactly the same time. And this was a tiny little kitten. So we tried to find this cat. And we rang people and then we just let it go because it wasn't working. We weren't finding it. And that's an example of what we were talking about earlier. You just let the universe work it out and then it happens. And so this cat came to us because the person that we got, one of our other cats, said, "You know, you said if this Siamese ever sired some kittens, I should call you. Well, they're here now, and you might like to come and see them." And my son was so excited, he said, "We have to go now." So within about half an hour, we'd driven over to this place. And of course, there was more than one cat, but there was the one that we knew was the reincarnation of Gawain, the one that we lost. That was immediately apparent, and she came straight up to me, and she was the Torty Point Siamese. And then we of course had to have another one because he connected with our son, and so we got two cats instead of one. But they'd both been with us many times before, and they have this extraordinary ability to calm you when you're stressed, and it works both ways, I think. Yeah. But they just are so together with their energy that they just have this ability to make you feel secure and remember that we have these other lives in many other systems, because that's one thing that was shown to me, that they, just as we do, incarnate in many different systems. And I was shown that quite clearly with cats. I mean, other species as well, but
so this cat that you bonded to, that's come back to you, have you had, have you been able to communicate with him in a little bit above and beyond the standard, affection type ways?
Yes, I mean she's female now, and she telepaths with me a lot, and I can be, overseas, and she'll come through to me, and it's just, I can't explain the language, but it's happening at a higher soul level, and it's sharing. I mean, a lot of people think cats are aloof, but they're actually just very chilled out about who they are.
Well, they're very comfortable in their own skins in most cases.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty true. So they just emanate this feeling of love, and I think that's how I would describe it. And so when you're in that space, I mean, and when we're in that space as humans, then we can remember and be the really conscious, caring, loving beings that we actually are. And we don't actually need to be in any other sort of space other than this feeling of universal love, because
right.
to me, it's clear that that is the most powerful force in the universe. And once you connect with that, then anything you feel you want, provided it's servicing the universe in that process and humanity and others, then it will happen. And that's why the co-creation that we're doing with others is happening. And we've learned to let go of a lot of things. People are very challenged by their financial situations at the moment. And the more that we can let go of that feeling of being challenged and just be in a state of acceptance, then other perspectives come forward, other understandings come forward. I always found it difficult to understand why we have money on this planet, but because I'm not very familiar with how it works. But somehow it rolls through, and I get just enough to get by with.
The story about your cat is very, very touching, and I agree with you that we have to be willing to accept that other animals, other beings on this planet have their own voices, and it's hard sometimes to hear them, but it's critical to be willing to listen. You know, the description that you had with Kitty Cat and the one that you currently have now that was a reincarnation of the old one, it was pretty much the same type of relationship that I had with my cat Jasper. And Amanda, who met Jasper and knew him, had, you know, we'd had many conversations about cats, and she said to me, "Jasper's a reincarnation of a cat you had when you were a teenager." And I was so thrilled with that thought. I had never thought of that. And I pretty much had a cat when I was a teenager who I absolutely loved, and he was an indoor cat, and he had been accidentally let out of the house. He had been hit by a car. I was devastated. And so when Jasper came back to me, when Catherine was a little girl, my daughter, I was so thrilled to have him, and he was the sweetest cat. He was one of those cats that people who swore up and down they didn't like animals, didn't like cats, loved him. And they said to me flat out, "If you ever need to find home for him, we would be happy to take him." And I'm like, "No, he's my cat. You don't understand. He will be with me here his whole life." And losing him a couple of weeks ago was just so heartbreaking, but his poor little body had just simply given out. And even the vet had said to me, this is just a man who had a lot of experience with cats. He said to me, "If you hadn't brought him in tonight and we had chosen to put him to sleep, he probably would not have lasted another week on his own because his kidneys were so inflamed and so swollen." And it was just very sad to lose him. But I also know that when the time is right, I will have him come back to me. And I love animals. Sure. And if it was up to my daughter, and I'm sure you probably have the same thing going on with your family too, you probably have a lot more pets than you currently do. Am I right?
That's quite possible, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But traveling as we do, it's become a bit more challenging.
I'm sure.
They miss us. They really miss us so much. It has, in the past, it's made them ill, but I think it's a bit more balanced now. They seem to be understanding how it works a bit more. And maybe we are, because they're probably telling us stuff, and we eventually learn what they're telling us. That can be an interesting one as well, because they're like our kids. The pets are mirrors for us, and we just have to learn to understand what the language is. And that can be really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds to me like we haven't had anybody else call in, and I'm sorry that we haven't, but what I would like to do is invite Amanda to come on to the discussion with us.
Oh, yeah.
And,
hello, Amanda.
Amanda, are you with us? Hello, Amanda.
I am now. It took me a minute. The whole thing is freezing.
Hello, Amanda. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties. The switchboard is freezing.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. So, Amanda, I wanted you to talk a little bit about any questions that you might have for John while we still have a few more minutes.
I don't really have any questions. I think John is absolutely amazing, and it was a great show.
Well, I want to thank you so much.
Amanda.
I thought it was kind of cool to have your voice heard on the radio as well, because too many people know that you're my producer when I speak, but they don't know who you are and how brilliantly you do your job behind the scenes.
Yes, and I recently had the experience of becoming a producer on Blog Talk Radio, because we, as Star Global Family, had a radio show a couple of days ago for the first time on Blog Talk. And the software wouldn't work for the guy Ralph who was doing the producing. So I at the what seemed like the last minute was asked to do it, and then I had to learn how the software worked, which was interesting, and it was a lot of fun.